Greetings and welcome back to Null Space. I'm Scott Null.
And I am the tired Captain Nostalgia thing.
Captain Nostalgia with me today. Captain Nostalgia.
We're going to get right into it today. Splatoon 2 has been out for a while now. We just went through our second Splatfest. It was Invisibility versus Flying. Which one did you vote for?
I didn't have a chance to go play at all.
Well, what the fuck, man? Okay, which one would you have?
I don't even... What did you just say?
Invisibility versus Flying is a Splatfest.
Invisibility.
Really?
Yeah.
I picked Flying.
I'm more of a stealthy kind of guy. I don't like being looked at.
You're more than a pervert. You're more like a pervert.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to sneak on those squirrels and watch them do it.
It was Pearl and Marina. And Pearl had picked Flying, so everybody was saying it was, you know, Flying versus Marina, because Marina's the big fan favorite right now, because she's adorable.
Word.
So anytime Marina doesn't have the more popular choice, it's basically just the popular choice versus Marina. Anywho, we're going to talk about a big problem with the game, which is currently voice chat. Now, Nintendo did release their device. I don't know how you want to call it.
It's literally a squid.
It attaches to your phone, and it's just a really, really weird setup to have voice chat in the game of Splatoon. Now, I mean, clearly the fact that you can't just voice chat through the system shows that Nintendo never, as always, pokes their head out the window ever to see what anybody else is doing.
Yeah.
They just want to do their own thing.
Well, Gary, in his defense, he was talking to me about it a little while ago, and he's like, you know, the system just does not have the capabilities to hold voice chat, because, you know, it's already slim enough and whatnot, and, you know, all the power is going straight, you know,
yeah,
to the video game.
But the thing is it just like, why do it through your smartphone then? Why include your smartphone into the whole process?
I don't know. Why don't I just call a person up and maybe use my tablet and just call Skype or something?
Or just use the fucking, like, vent system on your laptop and talk through there.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options.
There's trillions of different options. That's what's going to get to me. I think Nintendo made the smart choice without including voice chat on anything in the Switch, because I think voice chat sucks and is a fad.
There are certain games I do use voice chat with, like, you know, when I'm doing Battlegrounds or Siege, when I actually do play that, which is not very often anymore, but when I do like to communicate towards my teammates / friends of what the hell's going on.
I think in that situation, you have a vent server, you have a vent channel, something like that, if you really feel you need to communicate with people.
We do.
I think, I mean, especially
if
I'm just
Discord,
doing,
actually.
If I'm just doing random jump-in games and things like Overwatch, I don't want to hear a 12-year-old calling me a whole bunch of racial slurs, you know? I just want to play a game.
I do that. I live for that. Like, you, yeah, call me that racial slur, you damn 12-year-old.
I don't want to hear a kid talking. I just want to shoot him in the head.
True. I mean, like, I totally agree with you, because, like, when I'm playing Splatoon, I don't have to worry about getting, you know, butthurt over some stupid-ass kid, you know, talking or shit. Like, I'm playing Call of Duty a lot of times still, because, like, I'm one of those guys. And, yeah, I mute everybody immediately. I just hit the mute button.
That's the first thing I do in any online game these days, is I hit the mute button. And then, at that point, why even have it as part of the game? But you're going to say, because people want to organize, and blah, 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 blah.
Well, I was playing, like, the other night, and, like, I had to mute this guy, because all he did was set up his microphone, and his kid is screaming in the background, crying, because he's not paying attention to it. I'm like, wow, you're just a fantastic father for
and
one.
And he's turning around, and he's like, shut up, that's daddy's playtime!
Or I'll beat you, you little...
Jesus.
So, no. It's very obnoxious, because, you know, they're bringing their personal life into my video game where I'm just trying to relax.
That, or you get the guy who's always shouting orders to everybody, and he's the only one using the voice chat.
Yeah, he's just screaming at himself, yeah.
And it's just like, dude, no one wants to play your way, shut up. I don't even care about winning this goddamn game, I'm just playing it to have fun.
There is, every once in a blue moon, I leave the chat on and I listen to what people are doing, like if it's a really high competitive scene. And sometimes they talk about strategies or something like that, but it's nothing really too important. But most, yeah, 95% of the time I'm muting.
Honest to God, I think the future people, the developers, publishers will just drop in-game chat. Just say, you know, use a third party. Just drop it in-game, because to me it provides very, very little.
Yeah.
That anything else could do better or easier.
But there are games out there which I do like. Say, like, like the co-op, the online co-op games. Like, I do like, you know, communicating through online.
You're not,
like,
going to do voice chat on a solo play game, Jerry. That's silly.
But you still need to communicate through online of a co-op game.
Yep. I mean, that's the only time you need to communicate online, is what I'm saying.
I know. But it's still important to have, you know, that software and not just get rid of it entirely.
No, gone completely. Just there's no reason. There's no reason for it.
Like, God, what the hell is that stupid zombie game that I played with my friend? Like
Left 4 Dead?
Left 4 Bread, sure, whatever.
Left 4 Bread?
They're all the same at this point.
Well, yeah, the zombie mob games. Yeah. It's just the endless mob. Actually, the Splatoon one, Salmon Run, is a lot of fun.
Yeah? Yeah, I've yet to play it.
Because they have it scheduled for some fucking Nintendo
Yeah, that reason. Is my fuck you for later on. We'll talk about that.
Well, we just talked about it. Fuck you, Nintendo. Fuck you, Nintendo.
Seriously. Why
have part of your game be scheduled?
Listen, I am under a huge amount of, like, deadlines and schedules with my job, and, like, when I get home, I have maybe like 30 minutes to an hour just to relax, and sometimes I use that 30 minutes to play a video game, such as a new fucking video game I bought from you that I can't fucking play because it's on a fucking schedule.
That's the thing. Okay, have a Splatfest. Have a Splatfest be on a schedule once a month for 24 hours, but don't have a large aspect of your game that you can't access because it's like, oh, sorry, we're closed.
I was really looking forward to playing that when I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, that looks cool. I would love to do like this horde mode with Splatoon and blah, blah, blah. I have yet to fucking play it since its day one release. Fuck you!
And you have people defending it like, well, it's not impeding my game.
Yeah,
it's
fucking just... Patricia from a Kotaku. Also, fuck you!
Kotaku!
No, fucking that article, like, months, like, what, weeks back or whatever, she's like, you know, everybody's complaining about it, but I don't think it's that bad. I'm like, well, yeah, because you can bring your fucking video games to work, you stupid shithead.
Jeez. Well, getting back
fuck you!
Getting back to the actual topic with,
fucking voice, Patricia sucks, I'm sorry.
With voice chat, really, honestly, to me, it seems like more trouble than it's worth. Now, you're saying there's actually some sort of benefit to having voice chat be included with the, and I mean, yeah, I can see not everybody has the same setup I do, where they can easily just grab any other fucking device in their home and hook up online and voice chat that way. And organizing a chat room with random people online seems like a pain in the ass. But still, it just, to me, voice chat provides so very little compared to the huge mass of just endless bullshit that's going on in the chat room.
I don't know. I guess you do like your privacy bubble to kind of relax, and people invading into that is very obnoxious.
And I mean, the argument there is don't play online, but what if I just want to play something like Splatoon and go online and just shoot kids for a while? That came out wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I should be able to have fun in a game, play it online with people, because there's just simple commands in there. There's the obvious goal of, let's paint this area compared to that area, mm-hmm. you know? And, I mean, there's games where it's more complex, where you're actually devising a team, but it seems to me like that, a game like that, you don't go in with a random assortment. You go in with a plan, with a party, you know?
Sure. I mean, I guess the also drawback with this Splatoon device squid thing that's connects to your phone, then connects to your what else?
It connects to your phone and then your headset, and I can probably draw you a diagram of it, but I can't explain it.
It's a little fucking wonky, but anyways, you're still using the battery power of your phone or device or tablet. That's also draining that part equally, so if your phone is like near dead, you can't use that feature, so you have to plug that in at the same time.
Not to mention, I mean, I have, if I'm wireless on the Switch, I have dropouts with Splatoon all the time, and I've got a decent wireless connection here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the HDMI, not the HDMI, I'm sorry, the Ethernet USB attachment, and I don't get dropouts then, but adding voice to that online, that seems like it just the bandwidth drain right there.
I was hoping that it would just be eliminated because, like, maybe I can just, you know, plug that little jack on the top and I'll be okay, like they did with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Which was also kind of broken, by the way. I don't know if you've ever used that.
The WeChat? What was it called?
No, not the WeChat. There was a chat. I played Call of Duty 2 Black Ops. Call of Duty Black Ops 2
Call
online.
Of Duty.
Call of Dudes.
I called some dudes.
Yeah. But I would like to play on the Pro Controller, but there's no attachment on the Pro Controller. So I would have to use the tablet and the Pro Controller. I use the tablet to listen on my headset, and then use the Pro Controller to actually play, because playing after a half hour on the tablet fucking hurt my hands and cramped up pretty hard.
Because it was heavy and the controllers were pretty small at the same time.
It cramped me pretty hard, so that's why I got the Pro. But it was like wonky as fuck, so I had to make sure that was charged and plugged in, and then run a cord to, you know, wherever fuck I was to my headset, and then play another controller. It's basically having two two controllers near my body is fucking stupid just to have a talk to a person.
Yeah. That is one thing, is Nintendo either has to, okay, if we're going to go forward with voice chat, Nintendo has to either get with the program of everybody else or just say, fuck voice chat, because their current setup, I mean, everybody knows it's a joke. Everybody but Nintendo knows their voice chat setup is a joke.
That's why I love the new next-gen consoles, blah, blah, controller. The Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 have a jack right on the bottom. It's a universal jack, you plug it in, and you just fucking talk, and you can hear the sound, and it's great. It's perfect. It's exactly what I want. I don't have to dilly-dally and fuck around with the shit in the back of my system.
I guess for people like me that it's just completely annoying to hear anybody else talk when it's my gaming time, I'm an introvert and I don't want to talk to people, I should probably just say fuck it with this current online setup and just play my solo games. Because Zelda's fine. I can play that and not worry about playing
online. What about Mario Kart then, too?
Why would you need voice chat for Mario Kart?
I don't know. I would never use it personally.
No, because unless you want, I basically only if I'm winning, and then I just want to hear everybody raging at me. That would be funny. But yeah. But other than that, I mean, competitive games like that, no, I don't want to hear voice chat.
That's fair. All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about the Miiverse. That's the news with that.
The Miiverse, they're actually, did they shut it down already, or are they shutting it down
in process? They are shutting it down in process right now. I think Japan's going to hit it first, and then we're next, I think.
And that's for 3DS and the Wii U.
Yeah.
Now, did you honestly use the Miiverse that often?
In the beginning with my Wii U, yes, a lot. I had a lot of fun with it, and then we got the Art Academy thing, whatever the hell it was for the Miiverse, and I loved drawing on my tableau. That it killed a lot of time for me when I was, you know, bumming around the house and listening to music. So that I can post up art, and then other really good artists post up their stuff too, and I thought it was developing a really cool community of like what you can do with the art, but it didn't. It was hard to do because you had to almost like do that pixel art. Yes, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's not really well defined. And it's, you have to be really, really talented or take a lot of your time during the day to make it really good looking. But it wasn't supposed to be made for making art, I guess, which is kind of weird enough. It was supposed to be making like little prompted messages, kind of like Facebook.
Yeah. The thing is, like, Splatoon 2 has that feature now. It's just not part of the Miiverse.
Yeah. They made their own feature for it specifically.
Because, I mean, it's an awesome feature to be able to walk around the what would you call it? The hub of the game and see everybody's messages, except for the fact that, like, I mean, a couple weeks ago, the entire area was just completely overrun with nothing but furry art.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And I mean, to each his own, but it was just too much of it.
It's just a whole page for DeviantArt lovers, that's all.
That's the part that was kind of overwhelming, but it's since then finally evened out a little, and you see more Splatoon related stuff than just people's furry creatures. But that's
furry squid porn. I don't understand.
No, it was just furry stuff. It wasn't anything about squids.
Oh, good. That's so topical. Thank you so much for doing those things. That's what we wanted.
But the fact that, I mean, I honestly
check out my DeviantArt page for more.
The cool thing about Miiverse to me was when it came in, when it was in game applicable, like the HD re-release of Wind Waker. HD re-release of Wind Waker when you had the tingle bottles. Mm-hmm. And you saw people's Miiverse posts.
That was fun.
That was really cool.
That was fun.
That was just a little, you know.
I would actually do a couple of those too. I'm like, hey, how's it going? How's your day? And throw it out.
I would, you tag it with a spoiler, but you get that trophy room where mm-hmm. you have to take pictures of all the monsters and he makes trophies.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you manage to get a picture of a boss fight, the first thing I would do is pop it in the tingle bottle, because that's one of the things you can't go back and get later.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else can get it and use it later. And that was the cool aspect of the game, to be able to help somebody you have no idea out there who's just like, shit, yeah, I don't have to do that now.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But in recent games, to me, it feels like the only reason the Miiverse existed was to be kind of like Dark Souls, where you had the little tips and tricks that people would lay around the game.
Yeah, actually, I would actually go on the Miiverse, and like if I was having problems with the game, I would go on the message board and just read stuff, and it was actually kind of entertaining for me.
The thing is, I wanted it to be more immersive, so you didn't have to go on the message board, but you got like the warning in the game when you walked up, and you say, hey, there's a message here from somebody, and you read it and it says don't step on that square because you'll die.
Sure.
But it never really got to that point. They were trying to make it like a social media thing, and they never really fleshed it out to me.
Do you think that they might expand on it with the Switch a little bit more?
The Switch does seem like it's built towards more Facebook than actual their own social media. I think they're going to push towards actual relevant social media instead of making their own, which I think would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen specific cases of that yet.
It is Nintendo, so we don't know.
I mean, Nintendo, as always, is a one step forward, three steps in a weird direction no one saw
sideways
coming.
And then XYZ, it doesn't matter.
One step forward and then a twirl jump in the air that can either lend you like three steps forward or six steps back.
Pretty much.
It's kind of like watching a drunk toddler. It's just like, oh, are we making progress?
We're not. Okay, we're on our face again. Okay, this is good. Well.
But, I mean, as far as Miiverse going, it's sad on paper to me. But in practice, I never really used it that much.
The thing with the Miiverse was also on the 3DS. And, you know, I liked, you know, the spot pass thing, where like the street pass stuff. I used it a lot. We did it quite oftenly.
The
puzzles.
That's going to be the one thing I miss about the 3DS when it's gone, is the fact that spot pass was the reason to carry it with you. Because I mean, anybody can play a handheld game and carry it with them. The spot pass and the street pass feature made it like a community. I mean, especially at a con when you're walking around an anime convention or a gaming convention or a comic convention, and then just you pull up your 3DS from your pocket and the little green light comes on. That was my favorite color for about 2 years.
Tell you how dead it is right now. So I did some traveling a little while ago. I went to major theme parks like Universal, blah blah blah. Took it with me for a week. And what took it to places? Guess how many street passes I got?
Three.
One.
Ziggy gets about 10 a day taking it to work.
Really?
Yep.
Lucky her. I am jealous. So
that's
jealous.
That's the thing, is like I kind of don't take it with me anymore, almost because of that. Because
there was a new puzzle piece that was released a little while ago. I'm like, I want to get all the pieces and I want to use all my coins.
I don't want to feel that heartbreak of, oh no, it's dead. You know,
but I liked using it.
That was one of my favorite features about the 3DS. I think it was just so ingenious of Nintendo to throw that in there, that basically just like, yeah, it'll communicate with somebody else who has theirs on theirs. And you'd be like, wow, that's a great marketing campaign.
Yeah, that's why I carried mine with me. And I don't know. It's obviously dying, but if some other people are still using it, that's good. I try to keep mine on me as much as I can.
I actually, that'll get us into our next topic in a little bit, but I haven't picked up my 3DS in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Because of the Switch. I mean, really, it's more or less Breath of the Wild. If I'm playing Nintendo, it's either Breath of the Wild or Mario Kart right now.
Sure.
And I never stick with games that long. Mm-hmm. The only one I can think of is possibly Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a problem with one of my Switches. It pretty much, the OS got corrupted to the point where I had to send it in getting repaired.
Mm.
So at that point, getting it back, they had to erase all the info, all the data. So I had to start Breath of the Wild over again.
Mm.
I had beaten it, so it wasn't just like, oh no! You know, it was basically just like, okay, I can play through this again. This was fun.
Mm.
And the expansion pack had just come out, so I got all of the new expansion stuff, all of the hard mode, everything. So there was more to do to play it again. And now I'm kind of playing through it again just to get to the end for the next expansion pack, because I don't want to be there, you know, get to the point where the expansion pack's out and I'm like, well, I haven't even fucking in yet, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's just, but the point is, to be able to play one game after another of the same game like that so quickly, to me that just means that we finally have something here. And it's given me very little time to go back and play the 3DS games. And I think, to me, that it's just because all of the 3DS games are just so samey now.
A little bit, yeah. Gary, I picked mine up a little bit a while ago again. He lent me a Rune Factory game, so he's trying to get me into those. And they're pretty good. I just haven't had a lot of time to play it as of recently.
But I mean, if I was going to play Rune Factory, I'd probably just play like Stardew Valley. You know?
Yeah, I've been wanting to get that too. By the way, is that coming out for Switch?
It's just been submitted for approval, I believe.
Okay, because I was going to like, do I want to buy it now?
Or you don't want to buy it until we finally get multiplayer. I mean, if you at home, if you play it, it's an excellent farming game. And if you don't want to play it with somebody, it's great on its own. But I know you, and I know you like playing games with Kelly, and you like playing games games with Addy, and that's one of them.
All right, I'll wait.
But what I'm saying is we're at the point where Nintendo isn't necessarily the best at what they do anymore with stuff like that. I mean, with Mario, with Zelda, platformers, adventure games, they are. But with, like, the RPGs that kind of fill up the 3DS, they aren't, you know?
Yeah.
It used to be that you would play a Nintendo RPG because it was a Nintendo RPG. And now it's just like, especially with games like Bravely Default, where it kind of just fell into the background for me. Everybody was praising it. I played it and it was just like, it's just so samey. It's just so cookie cutter.
So are you complaining that it's... You've played the 3DS and what it has to offer, nothing else has come out recently.
That's just it. Is it just recently for the 3DS, all we have are JRPGs. And I like JRPGs, but the thing is, you have to have a hook with it. You have to make it something that the other ones aren't. Like the tactics, the tactic RPGs like Final Fantasy Tactics, Advance Wars, stuff like that, mm-hmm. where it's the big board game shape. Fire Emblem basically gave birth to that series almost.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Fire Emblems out now I just can't get into because they're so big and you have to invest time into it and I just can't get into the story. Whereas Disgaea, which is basically the same type of game, the art style and the storyline and the humor to it gave it a nice hook that I really got my teeth into that series and I had a great time with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an older series too. So it's just like, if you're going to keep releasing Fire Emblems, give me something more to work with other than permadeath. You know?
Sure.
Give me just something that just says, hey, this one's different than the ones you played last time, and not just, these are the characters now.
I did pre-order a 3DS game that's the first time I've done it in maybe a year.
What?
The Metroid.
Oh, Metroid, what is it called?
Metroid 2 re-release canceled, re-released again.
Yeah, it's basically Super Metroid for Game Boy.
Oh,
no, it's Metroid.
It's Metroid, it's a reimagining of the Game Boy version of Samus 2. Metroid 2,
yeah.
Return of Samus. I think that's actually what it's called. I don't fucking know
it's,
anymore.
It looks like Super Metroid, but with a new map and new controls and a new story, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the one that was supposed to be released by a fan, it was a Super Nintendo reimagining of Metroid 2 from Game Boy, but they, you know, cease and desist, it was shut down. You can probably still find it online somewhere. It's really cool. But because Nintendo closed it down because they were making their own whatever have you, because...
Yeah. The thing is, like, I mean, I when I play my 3DS, when I play a handheld game, it's basically just to play something while I'm watching TV or, you know, just to kill time with. I can get invested with it, but I prefer to have a game where it's just kind of like, you know, the mindless accomplishments that get you through your day.
Sure.
Kind of thing like Pokemon. And even Pokemon is going to be the samey because the next Pokemon release is just a redo of Sun and Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, why would they do that? I mean, at least if you're gonna do that, they really have to make it something there that I didn't literally just play. I mean, we're...
Are you looking for a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, I'm looking for anything, any sort of just 3DS, breathe some life into it, you know, instead of just keeping it on life support.
Do you think they're going to be going towards more the Switch being the next current handheld?
Well, I think it's about time we get into that topic. We're going to talk about pretty much, I think it's time to talk about the death of the 3DS.
Well, they're releasing the 2DS XL. They just released it a little while ago.
Well, it's the same. I mean, the 2DS XL and the 3DS XL are both pretty much the same system. I think the actual generation is almost over.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at the last few games for it. Maybe this upcoming Christmas, we may see a few more things announced, but I'm pretty sure this is the last legs that we're running on here before either Nintendo decides to go to the next handheld or they just decide we're making the Switch the Nintendo system.
Or the after the Switch being completely joined together of handheld and main console.
Well, that's what the Switch is now.
I know, but a lot of kids can't afford that.
I don't care about kids.
Well, it's the market, unfortunately. Because, you know, they had the 2DS XL, not the 2D, just the regular 2DS.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, a cheapo $70, $80 handheld. But, you know, if you wanted to buy Pokemon, kids could play it. I have a lot of nieces and nephews who all have that. That was designed specifically for them. It's cheap, it's affordable, and it's really hard for them to break it because it's just a big hunk of plastic. No moving parts much, really.
Really, I think we're at a point where Nintendo has kind of crossed the line between handheld and console with the Switch. And in the future, honestly, I believe that as an industry, the handheld industry is pretty much, it either has to compete directly with consoles or it just has to go away. Because
go away, I don't want you here.
when you have the opportunity of playing like Mario Kart 8 versus the 3DS Mario Kart?
Mario Kart 7.
Which one are you going to play?
I'm going to play Mario Kart 8.
In handheld, if you're going to play one of them.
Yeah, which I have multiple times. So, I popped in, actually, Mario Kart 7 the other day. I turned it off, and I just went to play Mario Kart 8 instead.
Because the handheld games are always just so limited compared to the actual console releases. And when you have a huge franchise like Pokemon releasing their next main core franchise game on at the console, that does not bode well for the handheld. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So I think in the future, we may not see the Nintendo console and the Nintendo handheld as separate things. We may see the home console version of the Nintendo system and the cheaper handheld version of the Nintendo console.
It's like, very plausible.
Like a 3DS versus a 2DS almost.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like the handheld version is cheaper but has less features compared to the bigger version of it, like the Switch.
You think we'll get a cheaper version of the Switch?
Oh, eventually, yeah. Yeah. I think we'll get the Switch. With how it's doing right now, we'll probably first, they're going to release the color version of not just the Switch hand controllers themselves, but the Switch dock and the Switch base system and everything. So that's how Nintendo goes. They go color, and then they're going to think, oh, let's go pocket, and that's going to do really poorly.
because that's the step back of Nintendo.
Because Nintendo is a weird fetish with tinier systems, and everyone's going to be like, I can't see what's on the screen. Like the Game Boy Advance Micro.
Micro, oh my god, the fucking Micro. Like, I wanted it because it was so tiny, but I'm like, I can't play this.
Then we're going to get the Nintendo Switch XL, which I'll probably get because that big tablet in my hands and be able to see the screen like that will probably, to me, in my head, think, oh, that'll be great. And then I'll get it and it'll be like, I can't play this because it's too big.
I will probably just buy a TV instead of just a bigger TV.
But we're going to see a lot of iterations of the Nintendo Switch. And I think, like I said, we're seeing the last few of the 3DS.
Do you bring your Switch out anymore?
I never really travel with my Switch just because it's hard to carry.
Sure. Like, I had a very good potential to, like, when I was on a trip, I could bring my Switch. But I didn't because I was more afraid of other people taking it, stealing it, or whatever, and paranoia of maybe breaking it on the trip. I don't know. Like, I felt like it was just better off at home.
I mean, if I'm going on a trip, like, we went to Door County a couple weeks ago, and I brought my Switch with me in my luggage and I played it, you know, when we had downtime. I just sat there in the cabin we rented and I played it. But taking it with me on, you know, just the trip to work or anything, no, just because it's too big to carry. I put it in my laptop bag, but I have a kind of a cheaper case for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to, the case caves in and I don't want to crack the screen or something. So I don't carry it with me out like that, and it doesn't like slip into my pocket. So that's why I think Nintendo is going to come out with the Pocket Switch, which will do awful.
I don't like it.
But I really do think that if I had to choose between one of the two to take, I'd take the Switch with me. Even with the new games, even with the new Metroid coming out with a 3DS, if somebody came into my apartment right now, held a gun to my head, and said, I'm going to take one of these systems, your 3DS and your Switch, I'd say, leave the Switch with me, please! And I'd be sad to see the 3DS go, but, I mean, I wasn't going to play it tonight anyways.
I would probably maybe give up my 3DS and I'll probably buy the 2DS XL after.
Yeah.
If I was stolen. Like,
and that's the thing, is I'm like the only one on the planet that still uses the 3D on the 3DS.
I don't use it.
Especially with the eye tracking. Oh, excellent. Nobody else likes it. I do.
I didn't say I don't like it. It just kind of gives me a migraine.
That's what everybody else says. It has never bothered me.
I'm so sorry, Patricia, that, you know, it works out for you.
I have great eyesight, though, and I think everybody else with their glasses and their contacts.
I don't have any of those either.
You're just diseased or something. I have no idea what your problem is. But back to the topic. I think this is probably the end of the DS line. I think we've finally gone from DS to DS Lite to DSi to 3DS. And
see, this is what you think, and this is what the probable cause is. But this is Nintendo thoughts now. They're going to come out with like two more lines.
They do. They do that, and I'm not going to argue that they do that, because, I mean, look at the, like, again, the Game Boy Advance Micro came out at the same time as the DS.
Did it? Yeah,
it did. It was real close to it. And
they do a lot of Sega choices, which is very dangerous.
And they are you kidding? Nintendo has so much money, they could release nothing but garbage for the next 20 years, and they'd be fine.
I know, because they're rich. It's fine.
But, they do that thing where it's just like, here's the Game Boy Advance SP, here's the Game Boy Advance Micro, which is it's like six steps back from the XP, because now, I mean, you don't get the folding screen, and
I love the folding screen because it actually fit in my pocket. I wasn't afraid to scratch my screen.
And then the game would go to sleep, you know? You didn't have to turn it off, it would just be like, pew. And that's what they moved on with the DS, and that's why the DS did so well. And then
DS Lite did better, though.
Oh, DS Lite did amazing. The DS was a big hunky piece of crap. The DS Lite is when the thing started picking up.
I didn't pick up a DS Lite because the screen didn't feel real to me, and it was pretty fucking clunky. It was a dumb design.
Yeah.
The stylus was really small. But yeah, the Lite was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I love that thing. I spent so many fucking hours on that thing. More so than my 3DS right now.
Yeah. But the thing is, they also released a Game Boy Advance Micro at the same time, which is basically just kind of a collector's item. I don't think they released it thinking this will be the next step in handheld gaming. They kind of just released it and said, hey, look, you own this now too. And I think with the 3DS, we may see like a few more gimmicky ones come out, but I don't think we're going to see the next generation of DS systems. I think
I'm calling it. It's going to be a DS Switch.
A dual screen Switch?
Yep.
What game would you use that
Nothing, for? But that's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you now. That's what's going to happen.
I think as far as the DS line goes, I think the 2DS XL was the last release of the DS line. And then I think we're just going to look at either abandoning a handheld line for Nintendo and just sticking with the handheld console, or they're going to do, like I said, a future where we've got a little bit of both.
I hope so. I mean,
I wouldn't get both. Maybe it'll be like how PlayStation tried to do their streaming on the go with the home console and playing it on the Vita.
And the PlayStation TV, which I thought had so much potential, but, you know, it's dead, obviously.
But Nintendo isn't like Sony in that way. They don't generally abandon hardware. They just kind of release it, and if it dies on its own, they don't go back to it.
They'll tell you when they're done doing it.
So, we'll see. I mean, the 3DS, don't get me wrong, has been a fantastic system. The DS, the entire DS line has been just incredible.
I have a lot of games I will never get rid of, like Animal Crossing alone, like 300 hours.
But, I mean, compared to what's coming, it's a natural step upward. It's an evolution. It's not like, you know, you're turning your back on one. It's just, we've gotten to the point where it's now becoming obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much where you either kind of let it go and, you know, move on, or you, I guess, tank your company with a Vita. <You
know? laughs> Which, ironically enough, I was thinking about getting one a couple weeks back. I'm like, I kind of want to play some of these games. I wonder if it's cheap enough. I'm like, oh, the system's like $150. It's not horrible considering, you know, what a handheld is. And then I look at the memory cards, and it costs just as much as the fucking system. I'm like, I am not paying $100 for a fucking memory card.
And the Vita was a fantastic device, but there just wasn't a market for it.
Sony killed itself with the system entirely, just because, like, I want a Vita because, one, I have a PS4, I have a PlayStation TV. This could be the device, you know, for me in my house. But it's so fucking pricey for the memory card that Sony is like, you know, they limited themselves. Like, no, we all can make it. Fuck you. I'm like, you bastards. 8-gig card, you know, $50. whatever, fuck it. I'm just bitching now.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to talk about a few things that Nintendo is kind of the reason I'm going with Nintendo focusing on the Switch only. They just signed a deal with SanDisk.
They did. They have little advertisements now with Mario and Link.
No, even the card has a Switch logo on it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about getting one just because it was
normal. Name brand SD micro cards,
mm-hmm,
for the Nintendo Switch. Nintendo official memory cards for the Switch.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, it's going to cost twice as much. It's the same thing normally.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. There's also, coded within the operating system for the Switch, there's references to VR.
They've mentioned rumors about that. There's been speculations on the internets.
So, I mean, we could be seeing...
Yeah.
And Nintendo did just release that Mario Kart VR.
That's right. Who was developing it? Was that Konami?
I can't remember.
Or Namco Bandai?
But, I mean, it looked pretty incredible, you know? And you know you'd love playing that.
I would like to play Mario Kart VR.
I'd be thrown out the entire time. Oh my god! But we'll talk about the future of VR some other time. But I think we're really going to see Nintendo maybe finally do a solo focus thing, and I'm not entirely upset with that.
Maybe next E3.
Nintendo's weird at E3. We'll see what they do.
But yeah, they are.
They're kind of hit or miss. I mean, I don't think the next E3 we will see. I think we'll just see software because the Switch did just come out.
But I want to see more for Switch. I want to go to all the jazzes sizes. I want to be jazzercised with my eyes. Eyes are sized.
Well, let's end the episode there. Shut up. Shut up. We'll do our closing segments. You're fuck you. Go back to the...
fucking goddamn Splatoon and Patricia.
Splatricia.
Splatricia. Like, this was weeks ago. It's not even new news. I'm just so fucking bothered and buttered by it.
Jerry, you got any rare finds this week? Because I got a rare find. I got a rare find.
Yeah, you got a rare find. What is your rare find?
I was with the mall with Ziggy. I was at the mall with Ziggy. The mall was there.
You were in it?
We were in the mall.
Oh, I was in the mall.
And they've got this this Toys R Us Express. I think it's where they sell just the crap they can't get rid of in a normal Toys R Us store. Kind of like a discount store where they've got the surplus.
Have some shit.
They're like, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Buy it. And we're there and we're just poking around. And I'm in the board game section because we like playing board games. And... like okay, we've got your standard crappy, for whatever reason, Transformers version of Chutes and Ladders, and just all the movie tie-in games that didn't sell because nobody bought them. And then
Autobots, slide down.
Autobots, slide.
But you'll never get me, Decepticons.
But the thing is, every time I'm in any store and I'm in a board game section, there's always that little flicker in the back of my mind that says, wouldn't it be cool if, and like, it's like the same thing when you're at a video game store, like, wouldn't it be cool if I saw the original copy of Battletoads? But it's just like, wouldn't it be cool if we saw, and then there it was on the bottom shelf, kind of tucked in the back, fucking Crossfire.
Crossfire!
If you grew up in the 90s and you don't remember, Crossfire was this, it was kind of like a flat, almost two-sided air hockey table, kind of octagonal, hexagonal shaped, and
with ball bearings.
Yeah, and these two opposing plastic guns that shot ball bearings at each other. and you've got two plastic pucks in the middle with a ball bearing and ball bearings inside them. And the idea was you shoot the plastic pucks into the other person's goal, and that was it.
It's fun. Now the commercial was awesome.
That's the thing, is the reason this is such a great find is because the commercial was just so fucking quintessential 90s, mm-hmm. with the crappy fake heavy metal
Crossfire.
I don't know, you're like hearing it. Post-apocalyptic world 2 with people wearing leather and shit. I don't
know. It starts out with that 90s announcer voice, sometime in the future. they fly in and there's that board game.
Whoa!
It's like anything. Yeah, he was like surfing on the air too. He's like, whoa!
Any fake commercial from regular show was obviously just inspired by the Crossfire commercial.
No, that was the best commercial ever invented in the 90s. I'm sorry.
And the thing is, they took it off the market, and nobody knows why it was taken off the market. It was like, some people say it's because kids would pull the guns out and shoot each other with the plastic, with the ball bearings.
The ball bearings would get everywhere, and then babies would eat them and swallow them.
Some people would say it's because it would break your thumb because you were pulling that trigger too fast, but either way... Eventually, the game disappeared off the market, and you can find them online for like $200 right now.
It's really,
but just
really
to see, just to see this new remake of Crossfire from 2016 for $25, I was like, we're getting this now! And we spent the night drinking and playing Crossfire.
I might have to do that tonight. Me and Kelly were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and I'm like,
Ziggy?
This might be a thing.
Ziggy Ziggaroon turned out to be fucking awesome at Crossfire. She beat me every time.
Awesome.
So... the only thing that's wrong with it, the only thing that's wrong is what I might do is, now that the company is Hasbro, I might see if I can buy another, because the two pucks, there's a triangle puck and then one that kind of looks like a sun.
Yeah.
And the triangle puck has a real problem with getting stuck in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't, I mean, it becomes like a tug of war, an endless tug of war trying to get it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I might see if I can buy a second one of those sun pucks and just have it, like, you know, work like that.
Sure.
Because then there's a real strategy in the game, like, oh, that puck's getting too close to me, I'm shooting that one. Now I'm shooting that one to win, and back and forth and back and forth. But yeah, it turns out to be an excellent drinking game as well. If you get scored on, you take a drink.
I'm okay with that. Believe it or not, my buddy Salty Barnacle, fan of the show, and also friend, fan.
Salty Barnacle!
Salty Barnacle! I know you're listening to this, Josh. How you doing, man?
Josh!
But he also obtained the original Crossfire.
Crossfire!
Like, he showed it to me, and I kind of creamed in my pants a little bit, and I beat him up for it, and I stole it, and I set his house on fire. But he forgave me.
he got better. His house got better. Everything got better.
He was fine. But no, I really want to play with him, and maybe we'll have like some sort of Crossfire tournament.
Crossfire. That's when you put one Crossfire on top of the other Crossfire, and it's harder because you can't see the you can't see the pucks on the bottom.
You're pulling like Keanu Reeves. You're dual handing.
There's bullet time with marbles flying everywhere.
Oh, it's going to be so great.
What was your rare find, Jer?
I went to a show this weekend, last weekend-ish.
A weekend. Some weekend in the past.
I don't know. Fuck it.
Whenever this episode comes out, it was just in the past.
It was in the past of things it goes. I went to Make Sense, which is a store that sells classic video games and toys, and they were having a sale going on, and it just so happened when I went in there, right in the display case, right in front of me, I found Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters for Super Nintendo for $15.
$15.
That is a fantastic deal, considering that I cannot find that fucking game for a decent-looking cartridge, because when you go online, you don't know what the fuck you're going to get.
Was the cartridge a reprint, or was it the original?
It was the original. There were scratches on it, I saw it, but it was looked like it was never played. It was just like played and then thrown into a bin somewhere.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it. Kelly's like, is this new? I'm like, look at her, like, no, it's not new, because I see the wear and tear, but it's a nice, very subtle wear and tear where it's still, you know, good.
It was lightly loved.
Yes, but I'm going to love it later on this weekend. I'm very happy with it.
I don't need to hear about that.
But no, people like Street Fighter. I like Tournament Fighters. That's where I'm at.
All right, we'll close out the episode. What are you playing? What do you recommend?
What am I playing right now? I'm playing Evil Within right now.
Horror game?
It's a horror game. It was on sale a while back, and I just got finally into it.
Is that one a puzzle horror, or is it like
I believe it was a shooter horror thing.
Walking sim?
Here's my thing. I kind of bailed on it after like the first half hour, because I was like, I was playing with Gary. By the way, hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary!
And I was not very like moved by it. It was pulling every single cliche mark of video game and horror.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was first bothered by the letterbox bars right on top and bottom. I'm like, when are these gonna go away? And they're like, oh, they never go away. Like, they never go away. Why? Because it's like, I don't know. And there's if you go in the settings, you can actually turn those off. I'm like, thank fucking God. But why the hell do you have this letterbox cinematic view through the whole fucking game? I have no idea. Maybe they might want to make it very cinematic, even though I didn't think it was very cinematic. But that's me. But you meet a monster creature. It's all gory. Like, bro, I'm gonna cut you and slash you, and we try to run away. And moves very slow. Kind of holds your hand.
Jump scary.
Sort of. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck are these environments? Why are these environments doing these things? And Gary goes like, well, there's a reason for that. And I'm like, is it not at all? Is it all in his head? Because that's going to be really fucking...
Isn't the one that kind of like randomly shuffles the entire... Like, he's writing a story and these are the different parts of it?
Oh, that's Alan Wake.
Oh. Same thing.
It looks the same, though. One's horror and one's Alan mystical. Horror. Yeah, Alan Wake. But yeah, I kind of guessed, like, is it all in his head? He's like, well, sort of, yes. I'm like, fuck it, I don't care about this game. Like, I guess I was just kind of in a bad mood. I was really tired. And, you know, that's the point with games sometimes. You don't know if you're going to be in a good mood or a bad mood, and you're expecting the game to help you with that mood. And if you're already in a bad mood and the game is already like not doing so well, you're just going to hate it. So right now, I'm hating Evil Within.
So what do you recommend for this week?
Not playing Evil Within.
All right, we'll move on. Right now, I'm playing through, like I said, I'm playing through Breath of the Wild again, just kind of rebuilding because I, like I said, I lost all of my data. And I'm playing two games at once. I'm playing the standard normal mode, just trying to get through it so I can get all the unlocks and everything ready for the next expansion pack. And I'm playing a no-death mode of hard mode. And every time I die, I restart. And that is a hard thing to do. Because hard mode is unforgiving. But I found that with that much restriction and danger in the game, I actually play it correctly for once, where I'm cooking and I'm dividing up, you know, this is ingredient I need for this, and I'm taking pictures of ingredients I need so I can hunt them down later. And it's just really neat to be able to play the game exactly how they intended it, because it's just so fucking hard to play it any other way. So I recommend not doing that.
That's a good recommendation. I'll take that.
Well, that's a good episode for us today, this week. Hopefully we'll have more episodes to come in the future. We had a bit of a lull there, but we're back.
We're back in black. Men in black.
We are the men in black.
Galaxy Defenders. Oh, and stick around for our $1,000 giveaway next week.
That will never happen.
Yeah.
Well. We mean Monopoly money, so we'll mail you the Monopoly money. Actually, that sounds like not a bad idea.
That sounds fun. We can do that.
We can do that. We'll mail you Monopoly money.
And a get out of jail free. Not to be used in any real situation. All right. You want to send us out, Jer?
Happy gaming, everyone.
Woohoo!